And I'd like to welcome you guys. Thanks so much for joining us today. This is the first call for FS101, which is Use Spaces and Places Creatively. So I was mentioning to Trista that when your facility shut down, you got to get creative with just other spaces and places in your community. So it might be an interesting call today for that. So thanks so much for joining. This learning event, this is actually for all three of you. This is your second to last one. You only, after this one, you have one other really fun RS103, which is all about Arctic Winter Games, North American Indigenous Games and Festivals and Arts and things. So I see David just joined the call. So the four of you on the call, this is your second to last learning event, and then you'll have earned your certificate. So I'm really thrilled with the progress that you've made this year. And I see that Peter, I think, has just jumped on as well. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you on the call. And David and Peter, Trista Kumanovic and Nathan are in the chat that you get to through the learning event, not the one on the computer. So if you can jump, find that one, that'd be great. So as I was just mentioning, this learning event, it sort of explores ways that we can be creative in using our community spaces and places. It also looks at connecting people to nature and outdoors, which is a really important part of who we all are as people and our communities and our cultures as well. We're going to look at how sort of being creative with the spaces and places that we have can improve the access to and also inclusion in a variety of recreation opportunities. And this is actually one of my favorite learning events. I love, which is why I save it till almost the end. So I'll explain why shortly. But I think what we'll do, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And when you introduce yourself, I'll go in the order that you've joined the call. So that will be Trista Kumanovic, Nathan, David, and then Peter. And Trista, I'll just let you pop in the chat, and I'll read it whenever it pops up. And I will post the question. So just for your introduction, what I'd like you guys to do is introduce yourself quickly. I think everyone knows each other by now. You can all celebrate together when you finish your certificate. But I'd like to know what your favorite recreation space or place is. And I'll start just to not put Trista and Kumanovic on the spot, but I'll go first. Trista, you pop in the chat, then we'll go to Kumanovic. So as you guys know, I'm Caroline, and I love being in Whitehorse on the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Tonquachin Council because my favorite space is outdoors on trails, and I can walk out my back door and I have trails that go through the woods, which might seem unusual to those of you in Nunavut where you don't have the big trees or anything like that. But I can go through the woods on trails and up mountains and see fox and deer and things like that right from close by a city. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I like getting outdoors, and week two is all about getting out on the land or heading out in the bush. So that's why I like this learning event. So let's go over to Trista. You popped in the chat. You love camping and fishing around your local area. That's awesome. And maybe you can just explain to us maybe what you fish for, because that's always interesting, or how far away you have to go camping or something like that. Kumanovic, over to you if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us your favorite recreation space or place.
Okay. Hello all, I'm Kumanovic Yangnatia, Recreation Coordinator for the Municipality of Iqaluit. And my favorite recreation space or place would be the great outdoors, because
awesome.
You can until you're out of energy, or you could play tag with friends and either play Red Rover or play zombies. Growing up, I used to go to the dump with friends to play tag because there were so many obstacles there. There still are, but I don't know if people still go up there.
That's great. It's like a creative playground space. So thanks for sharing that. And I imagine you guys have, you must be pretty close to 24 hours of daylight now, right?
Oh, yes. Last night, it finally got dark around 1.
That's so amazing. So pretty soon, you won't have any darkness.
Yep, we won't.
That's great. Thank you so much, Kamanathik. Over to you, Nathan, and I know you're a little further south than Iqaluit, so I guess it's getting dark a little earlier than 1 o'clock.
Sorry, I forgot I was on mute. Yeah, it's warming up really nice. Everything's melting here. My leaky roof, though, is dripping everywhere in the complex, but oh well. My favorite... yeah, buckets everywhere on the floors. But anyway, my favorite place or space would be Halatnok. Translated, it's the little sandbar. There's a little creek that goes through the... there never used to be an airport road. There used to just only be a trail, but they put 3 tunnels or 3 big, large culverts so that the road can go over that little creek, and it won't interrupt the little fish, the lake trout, and that spawn or swim to the lake. And every year, all the kids go swimming and go in their shorts or swimming suits and little buckets and go, go catch a little fish.
That sounds awesome.
I've been doing that ever since Baker Lake was born. Like I said, the creek's still there. But we call it 3 tunnels now because of the 3 large culverts. But that's my favorite space.
Oh, that's so great. That's such and it's neat that you did that when you were a child, and you can do that with your summer day camp programs and things like that too. So thanks so much. Speaking of fishing, Trista says that she goes fishing for walleye. And that's so great, Trista. You got a camp 10 minutes from your house. So that's so awesome. You don't have to go too far. Thanks for sharing that. Let's go to David and then Peter. So David, I think everyone knows each other, but maybe you can tell us your favorite recreation space or place.
David, Elder Active Program Coordinator, Whitehorse. I go by periodically. It's become my favorite space. It's an overlook of Miles Canyon. So again, outdoors, so I think we're all pretty well grounded in that. And why is it my favorite space? Because initially I put a bench there, then there's now a formal bench, and I can play my clarinet, and it echoes from Miles Canyon clear to Gray Mountain and resonates across the valley. And it the acoustics, the scenery, the feelings that I get from it are unmeasurable.
That is amazing. Hopefully I'll be out there one day and I can hear you play. So I know how well it echoes through there. It's really good. So thank you for that, David. And Peter, over to you.
It's Peter in Whitehorse. I would say that I also really like our extensive network of trails that we have all over the city and in the territory. Also, we have a lot of lakes. Nice to go out to the lake sometimes. Yeah.
That's great. Well, thanks for sharing, everyone. It's actually really interesting you all picked an outdoor space. You just finished a research project with Vancouver Island University in the Yukon, and you go to communities and people say, we need a pool and we need an arena, and then you ask them what they do for recreation or what their favorite type of recreation is, and it's always out on the land. It's not in a swimming pool or in the arena. So it's interesting to hear what we think we need but what we really enjoy doing. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. So I'm just going to explain a little bit about this learning event, and then I've got some questions for you that we'll chat a little bit more. I think this is a really interesting conversation, especially as we've come out of the pandemic, because I think we learned a lot of things about our spaces and places during the pandemic. So if you might have read, you might have had a look at the presentation slides. If not, I'll sort of talk through them. So we're going to, as well as sort of looking at creative ways to use our community spaces and places, we'll talk about some strategies to use them better, because there are things that we can do better with what we already have rather than building new things. Yeah, it's a bit challenging if your roof's leaking or has collapsed. That's definitely challenges, but those are big challenges. So I'm not minimizing those facility challenges that, Nathan, it sounds like you're having, and also Trista as well. You might wonder what I mean when I use the word spaces and places, and I tried to introduce those terms on slide number 6. And if you did activity number 1, if it worked for you, it was just kind of a fun interactive activity to sort of look at what we mean by spaces, places, and nature. So we often in the recreation field talk about terms like infrastructure or facilities. And those terms usually refer to the buildings, the structures, or things that are designed and built for recreation, sports, arts, and other public uses. You can also think of that infrastructure facilities, those built places, as recreation places. So when I talk about places, it's something that somebody's designed and built. When I think about the spaces that we use, and each one of you described a space as your favorite place for recreation, you know, those are sort of, sometimes they just happen. Like Nathan, you described, you know, how that creek with the fish is still being there, and they built a few tunnels and stuff like that. So sometimes it sort of evolves and there's a few changes. But usually a space are things like playgrounds, trails, parks, gardens. And as you know, like, the outdoors is super important to all of us who live in the north, and so I use words like the land or the bush. I remember my first trip to Nunavut, and I quickly learned that you use the word land because it's not quite like the bush that we have in the Yukon where, you know, it's dense and you can't see the bears that are right around the corner from you. So when you think about the outdoors or nature, think about the land, the bush, and also our waterways, and also our air environments where recreation may or may not take place. So next week we're going to look at how important our natural environments are to our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Kumanopic, I think you asked me about the glossary, and I have a feeling that I forgot to change that slide. So I'll write a note, and I'll pop it in. I'll send it to you as a message afterwards, because I think I moved it and didn't link it properly. So thanks for prompting me with that in the chat. So now that we sort of have an understanding of what we mean when we use words like spaces, places, and nature, I'm going to ask you kind of a big question. And Nathan, if you don't mind, because Kumanopic went first last time, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll give you a second to think about the question. So let me put it in the chat and tell you what the question is. It's a why question. And sometimes why questions are big. So if you can't think of an answer, you're more than welcome to pass. But I'm just wondering, Nathan, from your perspective, and then we'll go to David and Peter and Trista, you can pop in the chat, and Kumanopic. Why is the creative use of our spaces and places for recreation so important today? So Nathan, any thoughts about that?
Why? Because I see other communities when I'm traveling. Baker Lake's very lucky to have all these spaces and places that we can use for recreation. We have like 12 playgrounds in Baker Lake. And I know there's 2,000 people in Baker, but when you go to other communities, there's like only one or two for a community of 2,000. I'm like, what's going on? Why aren't they investing? And then I ask how did we get all these recreational stuff? Like, I've got bouncy castles, and it was that town being volunteering and saving their money and then using the profits to purchase those items and then giving it to the kids. So it was the parents. So it was a pretty creative way. It was like, instead of getting a salary, they were putting the salary back into the program. And then that program was using it for next generation or next year. It's not like reused over and over again. If we didn't do that, we wouldn't have any of these things. And I see a lot of communities don't have those. Like, we're very fortunate.
So you're taking advantage of what you have and building on it and growing it and making sure that it's diverse so that there's not just one space, like one community hall for people to go to, but that you have lots of different opportunities for young people and adults and elders to recreate. Is that sort of right?
Yeah, like, I have to get creative. Like, I found funding to extend my Nunavut moves by renting out the indoor program using funding and then to pay for the salaries. That way, the youth leaders got to work extra 2 months, even though they were supposed to finish in March. And the kids have
That's
some
great.
Indoor playgrounds to be in for extra 2 months for free, like, because the salaries are paid for, and they're renting the space, so we use that money to buy more equipment, like, using outside sources of funding. Like, got to get creative, like, to add on to your what you already have.
That's great. Thanks so much, Nathan. Thanks for sharing that. David, over to you. Why do you think the creative use of our spaces and places for recreation is really important today? I can see your mouth moving, but I can't hear you. Sorry. I think somehow you got disconnected. I'm going to get you to, yeah, now you're muted. Can you unmute? There we go. Gotcha.
Okay, thank you.
Gotcha.
Let me just reiterate. That is such a broad question with my background. When I was a kid, my mother would say, if you're bored, go outside and play. So growing up, I was immersed in nature. Now, let's go down to the Bronx, New York. Mom, I'm bored. Go outside and play. I'm going to die. You know, the distinct difference between being in and or around nature and having the opportunity to go back to our human roots, evolutionary roots, as opposed to what we have today in terms of structure. We are now going back to an educational system, or there at least is the drive to go back to teaching kids the value of digging in the dirt, of being grounded in nature, that our building, our structure, our humanity, as we see it today, is not all that's out there. And then the last element I was going to add to that is everything, including the screen that I'm watching you on, the presentation, and you're hearing me from, came from nature. There is nothing on this earth that we utilize, eat or otherwise, that did not come from nature. And it is so important for us to reground ourselves in that nature.
Thank you so much, David. Let's go around to Peter and then Kumanopic. Peter, let's go with maybe 30 seconds or less, just so we watch the time here. Why do you think the creative use of our spaces and places is important today in recreation?
Well, obviously, I think a really good thing to think about is that funding doesn't last forever. And so I think it's valuable to be creative with the funding that you do get, and you can realize that you can use a lot with a little amount of money. And it's interesting to see, like, I've only been working in recreational for like 7 months, but people will use the space in such a variety of ways, and they'll be creative with equipment, and you can create a program with very little money that ends up being one of your most popular programs.
That's a really good point. I think what you're doing, like you sort of brought back, Nathan was explaining how creative his community's been and smart with their investment in recreation. And so what you're pointing out is we need that creative cycling, like what Nathan was describing, because that those funding handouts don't last forever. So good point. Thank you. So that creativity around what where we have our recreation, where we hold it, is really important. Thank you. And then Trista said you never know what's going to happen, like coming back from a trip to Mexico and finding that your facility is shut down for a couple of months. So I totally agree with you, Trista. It's really important to build those local spaces and places and build on them rather than invest in one great big thing. Kumanathik, how about yourself? Why do you think that it's important to be really creative in how we use our spaces and places for recreation?
My thoughts for the importance of creative use of space and places is that if we weren't so creative with the space and place we have, we wouldn't have soccer, hockey, rugby, golf, or even any kind of other sports there is. So, if there is no room, space, or areas in general for recreation, there would be no space, place for any activities, programs, or even initiatives.
Yeah, that's right. And when you can take advantage of what you already have in your community, like even as kids, you know, going to the dump and playing tag where there's all sorts of obstacles, it's a pretty cool space if you think about it. Hopefully not too dangerous, but, you know, it's taking advantage of what you actually have and finding creative ways to use it. So thank you. Excuse me. So just moving on, if you have the slides open in front of you, and again, if not, no big deal. Slide number 7 and slide number 8 remind us of the national and territorial frameworks that set out priorities for spaces and places. So you might have read page 11 of the Framework for Recreation in Canada that explains that it is really difficult in our country to provide all of the recreation facilities that everybody wants in every community. I know in the Yukon we often hear for people to build year-round pools in communities where there's like 200 people, and I'm sure that in Nunavut everybody would like to have an arena as well. But pools and arenas can be really expensive facilities to build, and sometimes, as Peter kind of alluded to, you can get money for building them, but then it's really hard to operate and maintain them, especially when you have leaky roofs or things falling apart. And I think we talked about this on an earlier call. It can be hard to sometimes justify those investments in facilities like arenas and pools when people in your community don't have a house to live in or their houses are falling down around them or not safe to live in. So it's really hard to justify, so it's really important that we're creative and use what we actually already have. So if we think of supportive environments for recreation, you might think of places that you can walk and cycle, or play, like a snowmobile track in the winter you can use for snowmobiles, snowshoes, walking, sledding, fat tire biking, all sorts of things. If you think of a facility like Kumanathik, you just talked about a whole bunch of sports, and a lot of people are using their arenas in the summer now or in the off season and putting a turf in so that they can use it for other things. So that's a multi-use facility. And I think it's really helpful to think about what is in your community, what your community can afford, and what is there that's not being used as well for recreation that could be used better. The other framework that I'd like to point out, and especially to Nathan and to Manopik, is, and please excuse my pronunciation, but I think it's Nunavut, and you guys can jump in because I know I didn't pronounce it very well, but that is Nunavut Sport Physical Activity and Recreation Framework, and it's a pretty new framework. It's good for 2020 to 2030, and its goal number 5 talks about the need to prioritize like community spaces and places so that you can deliver programs and services and to make sure that those places are well-serviced and accessible. I think that all of you guys, I think you all have a role with facilities, maybe David and Peter, not quite so much as Trista, Kumanopic, and Nathan, but I think that you know that people are more likely to participate in activities when any sort of public spaces and places are safe, when they're open regularly so people know what the hours are, and when they offer enough equipment to play. And Nathan, you talked about, you know, acquiring a wide range of equipment. You probably also know how expensive it is to build some of those spaces. So especially somewhere like Nunavut or the Northern NWT, where everything has to be come in on the barge or on the boat, and that often makes things really, really expensive. So it doesn't really matter where you work or volunteer, but we want to, as good recreation leaders, we want to make sure that the spaces and places we have are used well for recreation and physical activity. The other thing that sometimes governments miss out on is talking to people like you when they plan for facilities. I've heard of so many communities where the hamlet, like the mayor and council or the SAO, they plan a recreation facility, but they don't talk to the person who's going to run the facility. And sometimes that can be really, really challenging. So if you are building or renovating facilities in your community, make sure that you're part of that team that decides how it's going to work. You know, it's things like not enough storage space for equipment is something that sometimes happens, or a gym that's not quite the right size, or a kitchen that's not big enough to serve healthy food from. So make sure that you're involved if you can. So if you manage to take a look at some of the examples on slides 9 to 11, you'll have seen some examples in there, and Kumanopic, your example of playing out in the dump is similar to the one that's on slide 11, which was a mobile adventure playground. So what they did in Calgary is they took a lot of things that would have ended up in the dump, but they cleaned them up a little bit, put them in, you know, you can get a skimmer or toboggan or something, pile a few things in there and pass them around and set up this mobile playground anywhere in your community. So you could think of repurposing some of those things from the dump. That's just an example. Some communities, like there's an example of how Yellowknife and Rankin created outdoor spaces for the winter for skating and hockey. And I think also Yellowknife created a snowboard park in an old gravel pit. And even in, if you've been to Iqaluit, even the way that they've created walking space alongside the roads, because lots of people walk there too. So there's some examples in there. And so the examples I've shared are just designed to help you think outside the box, outside the arena, outside the pool. So think about it. Hockey doesn't always have to take place in an arena. And if you have an arena can be used for much more than hockey and skating. So I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to start with David first. And just keeping in mind the time here, maybe about 30 seconds or less for your answer. So we'll go David, Peter, Kumanopic, and Nathan, and Trista, you can pop in the chat. And my question for you this time is, across the North, how can we make better use of the spaces and places in our communities, and what do you think would be different if we did that? So that's a pretty big question. So David, if you want to think about that one and then jump in when you're ready, although it looks like David might have stepped away. So Peter, you might be on the spot. So let's go to Peter first. I'll come back around to David. So, Peter, what do you think would be different? Did you get that? What would be different? Like, can you think of some ways we can be more creative with our spaces and places? And what would be different in our communities if we did? Like, what would it? How would things change for recreation?
Well, one thing I noticed is that we do have spaces in Whitehorse, at least, but it's really hard to book the spaces, and some people have very, like, strict rules around what spaces can be used and not, and sometimes those places, like, for example, I can think of UConn University has a beautiful gym, but they don't ever want anyone using it, and I kind of think, like, why would they do that when this would kind of bring traffic into the university, into the campus. People could sort of look at all the brochures and programming and bulletin boards and get a sense of the space. And I feel like if you were to be more collaborative and be offering these spaces to organizations that want to run, like, sport or recreation, like, and having less steps or funding needed or money, like, maybe even offering it in kind, it would build a more cohesive community where everyone is kind of sharing and collaborating versus, like, restricting and withholding. But yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So by opening up doors of the not so traditional places, like a university setting or something like that, or a church hall is another place that sometimes people use, then you can, like, as you pointed out, build relationships and encourage people to get to know each other and get to know their organizations better. So thanks for that, Peter. Trista, I'll let you pop in the chat when you're ready, but Kumanopic, if you think about whether it's your community or other communities in the north that you've been to, if we use either our buildings or our outdoor spaces a bit more creatively, what do you think would be different in recreation?
The things that would be different in recreation is that we wouldn't only have three places for programs, activities, and much more. Either we could use it to make a carnival place or even Wonderland. If not, build a paintball bike area for the community.
That's great. So you're thinking really creatively there. You're thinking of some spaces that are in your community, and you're thinking of new ways to use them, and it provides more recreation for people. And people have lots of different interests. So if you can provide a wider variety of opportunities with what you already have, that's so great. Kumanopic, you mentioned paintball, and my son taught kiteboarding in the Cook Islands one time, and I went down there, and they had an old hotel that they started building, but then they ran out of money. So it was like this hotel with no windows and no floors. It was just like all concrete. And they took it over and ran this massive paintball thing in there, and apparently it was loads of fun. So even like you have to be careful because you don't want a building falling down on you, but something that, you know, that you can create that's somewhat safe, but out of something old, you can repurpose it. So thanks for bringing that up. It reminded me. Nathan, how about yourself? What do you think? Like, if we make, I know it sounds like you do really well in Baker Lake, but even think of other communities that you're familiar with. If we were more creative in how we used what we already have, what do you think would look different in recreation?
Well, like in Baker, like, I only can talk about with what I see, and like we had to shut down the rink on the 16th because the ice was falling onto the stadium, onto the stands, onto the rink. It was too dangerous. Everything was melting. So we asked the municipal foreman, can you get a few water trucks on the ice, level out a spot or two? And he was lucky. He was kind enough to put three spots, so he made three rinks, and we made a wall, and now we have the Zamboni going out every day, blading it, and then resurfacing it, so we're going to keep doing that until it's safe, until the ice is thick enough, or, like, when it starts getting too thin, we'll stop, and, like, have to do stuff like that, like, because it wasn't safe in the rink anymore, so outside rink now.
That's great. Well, yeah, and the outside rink people don't have to only come when you're open, right? They can usually go at different points in time. So, you know, it sort of opens it up, and there might be people who don't feel comfortable in a big rink with people that are really good at hockey or skating or anything, and maybe in a smaller outdoor rink they feel more, like, welcome doing it. So I think that's a great opportunity. Nathan Kumanovic just asked you a question in the chat about are you guys getting ready for the turf, or you still have too much water in the arena?
We're getting the our skid steer. We have a little skid steer to break up the ice, to crumble it, and then we're going to try and melt it off, and then we're going to put our turf on and get ready for our summer day camp. That way the kids can use it. Yeah, I usually get about 150 kids coming every day for the summer. So, yeah, we'll be putting the turf up hopefully by next month or June the latest.
That's awesome. That's good use of an arena. So, and Trish has popped in the chat. She said, like, being creative promotes the use of local spaces that aren't used as much. And she also pointed out, this is really important, that it sometimes encourages different groups of people to participate in recreation. So if you don't expect people to go somewhere like a community recreation facility where they have to pay money and they have to register and there's all these sorts of things that might make them feel not welcome, those less used spaces can be used to sort of encourage people to jump in and recreate. So it helps make recreation more inclusive. So thanks for pointing that out, Trista. So if you think back over the past, I guess it's 3 years now, it's really, the pandemic really forced us to think outside the box. So, you know, everything shuts down. What can you do in recreation to still support your community? Recreation is definitely an essential service. It supports people's health and well-being. And unfortunately, when we had all those public health restrictions in place, it shut down so much, and we heard about people feeling socially isolated, not connected, being less physically active. We did hear, though, about how families perhaps did more together. But the pandemic really forced us to be more creative in how we approach recreation. So what I want to end with is I just have a question, and it's thinking through about what, like, if you think more broadly about your community's spaces, places, and programs, and how they, how did the pandemic, and what did you learn from the pandemic around recreation? So do we have any creative solutions that emerged because of the pandemic that maybe we might not have thought about before? And I'm going to give you an example, and then Trista, I'll get you to pop in the chat. Kumanovic, I'll start with you, and we'll go around our circle that way. So, Kumanovic, while you think about your example, I'll share one with you. So, during the COVID pandemic, a lot of people were forced to stay home and had very small bubbles and couldn't participate in a lot of our programs shut down. So, there's a new program in Dawson City, and it's, I think you guys are going to laugh, but it's pole dancing. So I don't know if you know what pole dancing is, but it's like a studio with these big poles, and it's actually really good for your strength and your flexibility and everything like that. But what they do is, because you're around a pole, you can be distant from each other, so you can be more than 2 meters away from people and meet all those requirements. You can also limit the number of people in the studio. And what they did is they connected to an instructor who was out of the territory. So this is in Dawson City, and they connect to somebody who is like way down south somewhere, and she comes on a big video screen and teaches it. So that was a creative solution, a different type of activity that kept people somewhat distant and allowed them to have some instruction and activity that way. So Kumanovic, are there any creative solutions that you found or have heard about that came about because of the pandemic?
Oh, yes. We couldn't have any more kids camp throughout the years that the pandemic was out, so we had to do at-home kids from iPad in actual science camp, so we built home kits for the kids and posted it on Facebook that anybody can pick up activities in a box. And with that said, we gave this much time for this many age group. So, for instance, we had 19 and over from 1 to 3, and 18 and under, like 15 to 18 from 3 to 5, and 15 and under from 5 to 8, and then the older people from 8 to 10. So, yeah, that's typically what we did. And we became everything, even became the food bank for Iglulik that time.
Wow, that's a lot of work. But I think that your idea of the home kits are kind of cool, because you could also use them that if you've got kids in programs who are maybe sick or something's happened in their life and they can't come to the programs, to still be able to send them something home still makes them feel included and welcome and part of something. So you could carry that forward, right, and use it as you move forward, too. So thank you for sharing that. Nathan, how about yourself? Thanks, Kluminafik. Nathan, did you find any creative solutions, or have you heard of any in other communities that emerged as a result of the pandemic?
Well, I've been rec coordinator only for 1 year now. I became rec coordinator April 12, 2022. But I remember the previous rec coordinator, when no one could leave, I remember him knocking on my door. And I'm like, who's knocking on my door? And then I opened the door, and it was the rec coordinator, all decked out in, like, this plastic suit, face mask, eye, face shield, everything, and then handing me with a pole with two fingers and handing me, here's your voucher so you can go get free food, and then listen to the music, and here's your free bingo card so you can win prizes. I'll drop off the prizes if you win. We're doing radio games now, since no one can go out. Like, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I found out the recreation department is sort of like the catch-all for emergencies. Like, if you can't find someone to do something, it's usually the rec coordinator that had to do it. Suddenly the radio was now part of the recreation department. At first, it used to answer to no one, but now they answer to me. It's weird. I never had that before. And like I said, it was interesting, and it was like, wow, I couldn't believe what recreation really does, like, how far you...
Can you imagine if you're the person in your community that doesn't really like to participate too much in recreation, or maybe you're really shy, or you don't think you have the skills to go out and join, and somebody came knocking on your door and gave you a different way to participate? How would that make you feel? Pretty excited, right? Like, I think Kumanopic put, how exciting is in the chat. So, wouldn't you think, Nathan?
Yeah, I found it pretty amazing. Like, recreation would step up like that. That when no one would go out, everyone looked at recreation for fun, for the community. Like, it was amazing. Blows my mind what recreation department has for the North, for Canada, for everyone.
Yeah, and I think what's so neat about that is if you can remember that experience and try and give other people that experience, even when there is no pandemic, then you're going to be more inclusive, you're going to be more welcoming, and you might get more people coming out and participating in recreation. And we know recreation is good for our mental health just as much as our physical health. So that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. David, over to you. What are you aware of, a creative solution that emerged during the pandemic?
You know, quite frankly, no. I wasn't involved.
That's okay.
Yeah, I wasn't involved, like the Tumanox there, with recreation a year ago. And during the pandemic, I was one of those that was working at home and isolated. So I ended up being my own person, working more on my garden and that kind of stuff. So call it self-isolation, but I wasn't really aware of added programs that were in the community. Whitehorse, everybody seemed to be walking around in face masks.
Yeah. But you can imagine how if you were that isolated person in Nathan's community and the person came to your door and introduced you to a variety of things you could do from home, it'd be pretty exciting.
Yes, it would have given me opportunities, and I just went back to my gardening. I went, okay, if this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, thanks, David. Peter, over to you. Are you aware of anything that was creative? I know I probably used an RK example with the pole dancing, but is there anything that stands out for you?
During the pandemic, I was in school down south in Victoria, and I didn't really, I was a little oblivious to recreation down when I was there, but what I did notice is that I, myself and my friends would be more open to trying different activities just because some things were allowed and some things weren't. Like, I remember participating in, like, an outdoor soccer league and also doing, like, badminton, which are sort of things, sports I used to do as a kid, but I wouldn't do them anymore. And so, yeah, but I was more, like, open to trying different activities. But I didn't notice a whole lot of creativity. I don't really have an example for that question.
Yeah. And now thinking of your role with ARPA and working with communities where sometimes people feel isolated anyways just because of geography, how do you think, like, is there a takeaway from what either Kumanovic said about, you know, sending at-home kits or what Nathan said about knocking on people's doors as far as making recreation more inclusive and welcoming? Is there anything that sort of stands out that you could carry forward in the work that you do now, even though we don't have a pandemic?
Honestly, I can't think of anything right now, but I'm sure there has been any, because I know a lot of people have talked to me about the pandemic and how it made it very challenging to run recreation programming, and I just kind of think, I don't know, do you have any more examples that you can think of? I can't think of anything right now, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm thinking is just even that outreach, right? So what both Kumanovic and Nathan described was reaching out to people that might not be reaching out to you. And if you guys think about recreation, and mostly in the facilities that we have, it's the same type of people that come to our facilities. And there's some people who never come. So if you can imagine that you can reach out to them in different ways or provide a different type of space where they can do something that's different than what's usually there, you might be able to get those benefits of recreation to extend to a bigger percentage or a greater population in your community. So that's kind of where I was going with this question, pretty big scale question. Trista popped in the chat. I don't think David or Peter, you guys can see this, but she said that during the pandemic, she came up with challenges or activities that can be performed at home and also apps for your phone that people can participate in as a family or in their free time. And she said she ran fishing challenges using an app called Fish Donkey. And the community loves it because they can participate as a community without having to gather. So I've never checked out Fish Donkey, but maybe that might be something that interests you guys too. So I wanted to say thank you so much for joining the call today. I love talking about ways we can do things differently, because I think that when we think about how to be more innovative or creative or do things differently with the spaces and places that we have the opportunity to reach more people in our communities, and we have the opportunity to make better use of the limited amount of money that we do have. So thanks for sharing all those examples and ideas. If you have any questions, stay on the line after I stop the recording. And I think you'll find this week's required learning activity, I know a few people have done it already, but it's pretty creative, innovative. You don't have to write it in words. You could draw a picture if you like drawing or you're artistic. Or as Peter did with his last one, you can record yourself by clicking on the audio button and you don't have to type. You can just talk. So choose the way that you'd like to do the required learning activity that's due on Sunday. And I look forward to talking to you all next week. So, bonne chiche, merci, merci cho, nakermik, kwana. Have a great rest of your week and a good weekend. And stay on the line if you have any questions after I finish the recording.
Thank you so much.